Oh, you have a boner?
I have to write a new set. Yeah, I have a boner.
Okay, I should think of mine real quick. Hang on.
I got a couple of boners.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a geeky boners episode. We are super rock hard and ready to tell you about it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Cannot talk, too much boner.
And Nick Glover. And as you might have surmised by these boner-filled dudes, it's another Geeky Boners episode.
Hey.
Oh, we're so tumescent for you guys.
Oh, and tumescent, that's
I know,
a good word.
It is, and it is. It's the perfect word to describe your throbbing and solid erection, Nick.
Yeah.
Tell me about your tumescent, lurid boner for, what's it for?
My boner is a boner I share with you. It is The Expanse.
Oh, I love The Expanse.
We waited until the second season of the show started we watched all of the first season on Amazon Prime streaming, and then we caught up and then jumped on the third season, which as of last night was just three episodes
or four, yeah.
To the second season. So The Expanse is a sci-fi original based on a series of books. The first book in the series is Leviathan Wakes. It is on Sci-Fi Channel, and or Syfy, if you prefer. And don't hold that against it, because
Battlestar Galactica was on Sci-Fi
in
too.
In terms of production quality, acting, special effects, and everything, it is really, really on par with BSG.
Yep.
It's hard science fiction in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's great things where, like, space stations and large ships and other things are spinning when they're traveling through space to generate pseudo-gravity. When ships accelerate to G-forces that would be lethal or dangerous to their people inside them, their cradles, their chairs, they're like command stations, hook up to them and fill them with some sort of a chemical that makes it easier for them to withstand the G-forces, or maybe like pressurizes their body in some way. It's never made clear, but
they say the tank. Leave them in the tank.
Yep.
You can't take them out of the tank. That's torture.
Yeah. The base premise is there are three political entities at work in the solar system. The UN controls Earth. There's a global government. The Martian Congressional Republic is working to terraform Mars, and they are a separate legal entity. They're sovereign, and it's all humans. Mm-hmm. And then there's the OPA, which is the Outer Planets Alliance, and they are largely asteroid belt dwellers, people who live in the asteroid belts and on space stations. And
are the OPA? I thought belters were different from the OPA. I thought the OPA was kind of like the IRA.
No, the OPA is a political alliance.
Okay.
There are OPA members who are like IRA. Like sometimes when some people say OPA, they mean like the bad elements, the more extremist.
The anarchists, not anarchists, but the violence oppositionists.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. And so Mars is super fucking badass. They're like wearing exoskeletal suits, and they're like super hardcore Martian Marines.
At least that's who we've met so far.
So far, yeah. Earth is our main protagonist on Earth is this UN council member, Avasarala, who is super great. Her
she's costuming very Cersei Lannister.
Is her costuming is like a pantsuit, but then like traditional women's Indian attire. Like, she's super power suit.
She's like an Indian Eva Peron. Like, that's what that's how I would describe her, is like super fashion forward in a power way. Like,
yeah. And there's, so, I mean, BSG is the first movie, it's show I'd compare it to. The second show I'd compare it to is maybe Game of Thrones, and then the third is, just for the political, or House of Cards, maybe. And then,
Firefly. There's some Firefly in there, because there's a rag, like, your main protagonists, your sympathetic protagonists.
The people that come together.
Yeah, they're the ragtag. It's a kind of a ragtag thrown together crew.
Rocinante.
Yeah, they didn't ask for this, you know, kind of a thing. And
scrappy crew in a stolen ship.
They keep ending up in either, you could argue, wrong place, wrong time, right place, right time. It depends on how you want to look at it.
But it's science fiction.
Is that crew kind of Switzerland, like not necessarily on anybody's side?
There's a couple Belters, there's a Martian, and there's some Earthlings.
I'd say they're less not on anybody's side and more stuck in the middle of the sides.
Okay.
But the crew is made up of, they have someone from everywhere. They have a Martian pilot. An ex-Martian Marine who's a pilot.
Yep.
They have a couple Belters who are, you know, born and
one
raised.
Of which is XOPA.
Yep. And then they have an Earther.
What does that mean?
She used to
be in the OPA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
OPA. All right.
She used to be in the OPA, the violent extremist thing we talked about.
The more rowdy part of that, yeah.
And then there's a couple Earthers. Yeah. And so there's a lot of that, like, well, what would you know? We grew up here in the Belt where things are scarce and Earthers live in comfort and take everything.
There's a bunch of great actors. I can't remember the actor's name. The dude who was the boxer in The Wire, who was trying to, like, get a new start on life.
Yeah.
He plays Fred Johnson, this big OPA guy who owns a huge shipyard, and he's building this enormous colonization ship for the Mormons.
He's been commissioned to build it.
He's been commissioned by the Mormons to build this trip for their 100-year voyage through space so they can go colonize this planet that God told them is waiting for them 100 years away at another star.
Yeah.
And so their ship is, like, big enough to, it's like a ring world ship. It's like a ship that's a ring. And so it spins as it goes forward so that it generates gravity and has earth and farms and
Mormons
shit.
Mormons are the only religion that we've seen so far, too.
Yes.
So it's 200 years from now. And so we don't know if it's just that's all there is now is Mormons or if it's just that religion is more of an earth thing. And so we haven't seen a lot of earth people besides the UN.
Just one or two more things. The evolution of technology seems very, very realistic. Cell phones, computers, and all that kind of have come to a conclusion that seems very believable. To me, there's some stuff I don't want to spoil.
Yeah.
But it's a pivotal moment in history. Earth and Mars are in the middle of a Cold War, and they're both really, really abusing the Belters for the resources that they mine there, because the Earth and Mars are competing for those resources to fuel their own Cold War, and the Belt is entirely dependent on them, or largely dependent on them, for water and air, which are, you know, as the credits say, worth more than gold in the Belt. So the Belt has lots of ice miners, people that send out ships to go mine ice and bring back water. From asteroids and stuff but it's, you know, water
and
is
moons and things,
there's
like,
black market water and stuff like that in the belts, and the people in the Belt have their own patois. Like, they have a very...
They sound kind of like the Pikeys in Lockstock, the other one.
Snatch.
The way that Brad Pitt and the other Pikeys talk. Yeah. It's like that, where
but
you
there's
can...
there's, like, some Caribbean
Yeah,
or
you can tell... I don't mean to say that it sounds specifically like a British brogue, but it's more like, it's in that style. Or like the way Boomhauer talks on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Where you can tell there's English words in there, but there's also probably brought in from, like, some Jamaican, some Scottish stuff, and, like, like reading Robbie Burns.
A thick Creole, like, swamp accent with a Scottish brogue.
Like, if Robbie Burns Bayou patois somehow were, like, blended together into it, just, you know.
It's great.
It's neat.
The show,
they don't use it a lot.
No, it's mostly the background stuff. It's mostly side characters, and it's used sparingly.
Or like how
like
Firefly.
The Chinese,
I was gonna say how they would occasionally swear in Chinese on Firefly, and you're like,
It's a bit like that. Anyway, The Expanse. I'm gonna read the books. The first one's Leviathan Wakes. I think there's five books, and
they're not done yet either.
And the first season doesn't even encompass the first book.
Huh.
The first book I think ended
recently,
last night or recently in the second season. So they're taking their time with it. Which
in,
is
in the third season, you mean?
They're, no, the second season.
We're in second season
the
right
second
now.
The second
season
has just caught up to the first book being done.
And you're watching.
In airing.
We're currently with it right now.
Yeah, I thought you said it was third season.
Third episode of the second season, okay. I think. Third or fourth episode. So yeah, that's my boner is succumb to the hard vacuum of space.
It's an expansive boner.
Yes.
Nick's boner trains in 1G.
Nice.
Tim, what's got you rock hard throbbing and ready to jack off and come?
Oh my God, this crazy thing. this crazy...
That's what you guys do with your boners, right?
All the time.
So I don't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast. I got hired to be in the Winter Carnival opening ceremonies.
Oh,
You're a Winter Carney.
As an actor. You know, they've got... The Winter Carnival has, you know... And I've known something about the Winter Carnival because obviously this is the St. Paul Winter Carnival for people listening that aren't from St. Paul. And there's a big fucking festival that we do in the middle
of
fucking winter.
It's a huge deal.
Because it's like, it's fucking winter and winter sucks. So we're going to go outside and say, fuck you, winter.
There used to be an ice castle so big that you could go inside it.
Yeah, and there will be again next year because there's a Super Bowl. Sure. They're planning on building a huge...
If the climate will allow for it.
If the climate will allow for it, because recently here in the Twin Cities in February, it was 60 degrees. But in any case, so they hired me to do this and one other actress.
Where did they hear from you? Do you know? Like, where did they see you from?
They actually...
Or how'd they find
out
about
connected
you?
Through Duck Washington.
Okay,
show,
cool.
Duck Washington. So they connected with me and they were looking for an actor and it turned out that I could do what they needed. And Greta...
Blowjobs.
Greta, yeah. Greta, and I'm going to mangle her last name, but she doesn't listen to this. Greta Gersh, who is an actress from the Twin Cities, does a lot of theater and we know each other through various other mm-hmm. people, even though we've never worked together. And they hired the two of us to come in and do this show, which it's part of the coronation. And the people who have been doing the coronation, by the way, is generally boring as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because basically what they're doing is they've got King Boreas and then he's got his wind brothers, the north, south, east and west wind. And all of them have their princesses and they've got these other roles like the guard and shit. And everybody gets inaugurated and it's these long... boring exchanges that have been happening the same way for 100 years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so what these people have started to do is put it in the context of a show. And this year, and this is where it gets weird. This year, like, they're like, okay, you know what we need to do?
Mm-hmm.
We need to hire actors, real legitimate actors. And I know I'm saying that and you're looking at me and going, what? And it's like, you got to understand.
You're a legitimate actor. You're a professional actor.
You got to understand that they don't know the difference. And that's what's important. So they go out and they got Greta and I to be the leads in this little play that they mm-hmm. wrote. And then they found out I was a writer and they had me help them with writing the script. And they found out Greta was a writer. And so Greta and I did a lot of tweaks to the script. And anyway, we did this show back in January. And everybody apparently, you know, because I did that and I, you know, thanked them all and said I had a great time and I went off about my merry way, and all the people who are involved in Carnival apparently for the next week were getting told how amazing uh-huh. the entire
That's
thing was.
Awesome.
The funniest part was the one dude who's a former King Boreas, and his name's Steve, and he's a charming fellow. He explained to me that he was kind of the black sheep of the Boreases because he says fuck all the time and the other guys don't like that very much.
Yeah.
Because once you're a King Boreas, you're always a King Boreas.
Sure.
You're always walking around in your alumni Boreas
That's
outfit.
That's crazy.
I learned so much stuff about how the inner workings of Carnival are. But
they're kind
of
like Shriners or something, right? They're like...
The Vulcans, especially. The Vulcans
are... There's kind of like a brotherhood of these
there
dudes,
is a brotherhood.
Right?
If you're like a South Wind... There's a South Wind Brotherhood, and they decide who the next South Wind is going to be.
That's crazy. And that's just the winter side, because, you know, listeners, there is the Vulcans are the opposite side of in a way.
The Vulcans are part of the Winter Carnival. Well, they're a role from the Winter Carnival.
What I'm saying is they're the opposite of the winter
Yes.
They are spring coming in.
They're the bad guys.
They're the bad guys getting rid of winter.
In the context of the Winter Carnival, where the good guys are all the winter characters.
I thought it was the other way around.
No,
winter guys are the good guys?
Yeah,
the Vulcans are the bad guys. Interesting.
Well, yeah, the Vulcans steal women and give them kisses and run away.
But
it's all kind of... I mean, you have to remember, it's all tongue-in-cheek.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're all buddies, but it's also, you know, the Vulcans represent summer, and we want summer to come, even though this week we're celebrating winter.
Does the Winter Carnival, do they do stuff all year round like the Vulcans do?
Well, the Vulcans, they all do, I found this out.
Okay.
I mean, like the royalty from the Winter Carnival, they go to all sorts of other carnivals all year long to represent, and they do all sorts of charity stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool, but... the one old Boreas who's in a couple of scenes and had like three lines and he couldn't remember them, and you know, he's talking to Greta and I before our scene together, and he's like, "Don't you guys ever get nervous?" And we're like, "Yeah." The secret is to not let anybody else know.
To just keep going,
To just do it anyway.
They don't know unless you tell them or act nervous.
They actually had me write it, a whole opening number, which was a parody of There's No Business Like Show Business. It was There's No Business Like Snow Business.
Of course it was.
And it was my solo, and I had a full solo song. And in rehearsal, I had never gotten it right.
Oh, man.
Not fucking once. But I nailed it on the one time that it mattered. That's all that matters.
That's awesome.
So anyway, it was a cool experience. It was really awesome. And this week we had the cast party.
Yeah.
This week they had the cast party.
That was just last night, right?
It was just last night. Yeah. And I said, I had a Fearless meeting that was the same night, but the cast party started at 6. So I'm like, okay, I can go to the cast party for an hour and then run home. And I told him, I'm like, I'm really sorry. I want to be here for the whole thing, but I can't. You scheduled this after the thing that I already had scheduled. And I went there, and they were like showing the opening ceremony on the screen in the room, and everybody was chatting, and it was all very nice. And the first like fucking hour of the opening ceremony is just them introducing like all the former Boreases and Queens of Snows. And so it's just going on and on, and nobody's paying attention. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry, I gotta go. And then the person who's like the director for the show, she's like, you gotta go, like now. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, can you wait like 5 minutes? I'm like, because we gotta do something. I'm like, okay. So I waited, and they stopped the tape. And what they did was they got everybody who was responsible for it up there, and they knighted us.
That's awesome.
They gave us a certificate, and they gave us a medal, which I have hanging on my wall. It's a certificate.
That's a good name for a knight.
Which is great, but Greta is a dame, so she got a certificate too, which doesn't work. It's sexist.
She got I'll think of it. Just keep going.
But they gave us like a medal, which is hanging up on the wall over there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, it's like, you do the, and they're like, we get up there, and you have to understand that I don't do a ton of acting, like actual scripted acting. And, you know, one of the things is like, and how about our two actors, right? And everybody's like, yeah! I'm like, what are you... I do this all the time, and this was just a thing that, you know, whatever, they asked me to do it.
That's great.
And it was super nice the way they really appreciated it, and they really welcomed us in like we were part of
That's particularly nice, because that's not something I would have automatically assumed would happen.
It was actually...
something so chummy.
Thing where I was playing a member of the Royal Guard, and like some of the other people in the, because everybody else they got in this sketch, and there were like 40 people in the sketch, they were all carnival people that had been, you know, they had former princesses, they had former Boreases, they had former winds, they had former guard. So like the former guard, I did my little shtick, and they're like, you know what, if you ever want to be in the guard, I will sponsor you. I'm like,
that's
shit,
great.
That's like all of January. No, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you ever need more to do, Tim.
Yes, I was like, that is so nice. And I'm just going to say thank you, and I will think about it. And if anybody ever really pushes it, I'll be like, that is so nice. I don't have the time. But just the way they really they didn't make you feel like you were an outsider coming mm-hmm. in. And it was just really cool and getting that recognition from that group for coming in and helping them do their special thing was really neat. So my boner is, I got a medal. I'm a knight. Everybody call me Sir. Sir Timothy.
Like, sir, please don't touch the food in the buffet with your hands. Sir, can you please put your pants back on?
The worst part about the thing last night, the thing that I felt so bad about, everybody wanted to buy me a drink.
Yeah. It's too, like, yeah, you can't, yeah, there's no way to be like.
I'm like, oh, that's really nice. I don't drink.
There's in these books I love, the King Killer trilogy. He's the guy's a musician. And so when you're a musician in this world, at this one pub, everyone always wants to buy you drinks to the point where, you know, you're going to be buying so many drinks that you'd be dead every night. Yeah. Right. So there's a way that you can, there's a sly trick that the musicians and the bartenders have where the musician will say, that's wonderful. I would like a Graysdale Mead. It's like, oh, okay. And so when they go to the bar and the patron, whatever, says, you know, oh, and a Graysdale Mead for the musician over there. It's water. In this bar, Graysdale Mead is water. And what ends up happening is they charge the person for the cost of a drink. They send water in the mug. And then the bartender and the musician split the money.
Nice.
At the end of the night. So if 10 people buy you drinks and you have them all buy you Graysdale Meads, you get, you know, the cost of 5 of those meads back. Yeah. And so I wish we had that kind of thing.
If only
I'd
known that last night.
It's a neat trick. You should see if you can get it worked out at Max and convince everyone that you drink now.
Graysdale Mead. That's a good idea. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my cool thing.
That's great.
That is really cool.
It was a great experience.
I'm really happy for you.
And that was really, I did not expect when they're like, oh, we have to knight you. So And like the new Bora, they got all the new royal family. They were there at this house party.
That's so crazy.
To say thank you to everybody that put the coronation together. So that was really nice.
That is really cool. Yeah.
What has you in Lady Bonard?
My boner right now is...
Is it so big that we should glue it together?
It's, yes. My boner is so big, you better glue my labia shut so that it can't escape. God damn it. Okay, just real quick, the best, if you haven't read about it, just Google Menses, M-E-N-S-E-Z.
Isn't that the worst name ever?
It's a very ironic name. I think he thinks it's Menses with a Z.
If you go read my
it's Menses.
It's Menses. Glue your labia shut.
If you go read my shit that pissed me off from a couple of weeks ago, I will talk about this wonderful product.
Mine is actually revisiting books from my childhood my younger years. That is my current boner. I'm rereading through the Wrinkle in Time quintet.
Uh-huh.
So I just happened to be reminded of A Wrinkle in Time by someone. Oh, it was someone had posted a list of dystopian fiction. And I was like, oh, yeah, Wrinkle in Time is kind of dystopian fiction. That's, I haven't read that in so long. And so I bought the box set of all 5 books for, you know, like $20 and bought it on Amazon. And I've been reading through them with the intent that after I'm done, I'll give them to, you know, Nick's sisters or, you know, something like that. Just as a, like, here, you have some books. But so there's that.
Got some dead cheese.
Yeah. I also downloaded for my Kindle, The Handmaid's Tale, which I read when I was about 15 and just fucking loved. It's dark and awful, but I mean, I love it.
It's a hard read.
It's an important read.
The new series out.
That's coming out right on my birthday.
Amazon or Netflix? What is it?
I don't know.
I think it's one of the streaming services and I can't remember which one.
But then, talking about, Nick was listening to the Dark Tower audiobooks, or still is. And so every now
almost
and then...
Almost done with Song of Susanna.
So every now and then we've been in the car and listening to the first few books is very much a childhood thing for me, those books. And so just kind of like, I've been trying to think back to books that I read a long time ago, like as a kid and as a teenager that... Because I read really adult stuff, you know, generally as a teenager.
Lots of pornography.
Yeah, so much pornography. But I'm just trying to go back and see if those things hold up. You know, like right now, I talked recently about doing The Wheel of Time, which I have stopped reading because they did not hold up for me personally. I couldn't keep going. But Wrinkle in Time is holding up. I do skim, I will admit to skimming entire pages where Meg is just doing teenager stuff and I'm just moving past that. But So I'm trying to think of other things that I read when I was younger like that, that really stuck with me. Most of what I read when I was that age was Stephen King or biographies of serial killers. So I don't know what I'd add, and just whatever I could find at my grandma and grandpa's house, because they always had, you know, tons of books.
It's amazing you're not in jail. It really is.
It really is. It's honestly, like, anyone who says that people who don't have autism don't have empathy, if I didn't have empathy, I would have killed so many people by now. So
it's true. It's amazing that you're on a podcast with anybody else.
It's true.
That it hasn't just turned into your podcast,
right?
Slowly,
without God.
Yes. As everyone is just mysteriously gone. But yeah, and so part of that has been trying to, like, investigate. You know, we've got twin nieces now and a nephew who's 3, and trying to think of things to start getting them to read, you know, sure, when they get to that point, which, you know, Nick's sisters are 15 and 11, I think, almost 12. But so it's like they're also at a perfect age to be like, this book is good and this book is good. So I don't know. It's not like a huge, exciting boner. Most of the stuff I'm really bonered about right now, I can't talk about because it's work stuff.
So it's work boners.
Yeah, I have a lot of work. I have a couple of really good work boners that I wish I could tell you. Oh, I can tell you something.
Ooh.
So the expansion for that I did for The Iron Throne, which is called The Wars to Come. And it's an expansion for a Game of Thrones game that was made before bit before me.
Have I played it?
No, Iron you Throne? Haven't. Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, I think you did it.
Did we play that on
OmegaCon? I think we did. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. The one with the bidding and the crowns.
Yeah.
So we had made an expansion for that adds House Greyjoy and House Martell. But the thing that's so great about it is we got a couple of jokes into that game
are
great. So slight Game of Thrones spoilers. Fast forward about 30 seconds if you don't want to hear them. So Theon Greyjoy gets his cock chopped off. And that's
flayed
and then removed. It's a very famous scene. In the show, the guy who does it is eating a sausage while he's talking about it and holds the sausage and goes like, and shakes it.
Jiggle.
So it wobbles like laughing at him. And so Theon Greyjoy's leader ability is called Cocky. Which is good because he is cocky, actually, also. So, and then...
yeah, it's a fitting...
And then we're still having spoilers if you just hit the fast forward and we're still there. Real quick. So then Oberyn Martell, he gets his eyes gouged out by the mountain. That's how he dies. The mountain is a guy who puts his thumbs in this dude's eye and then just pushes until they pop out. Super gross. Oberyn Martell's ability is called an eye for an eye. which is also very fitting because he's revenge. That's why he ends up in that situation.
It's
things like that. And so part of what's got me work boner, I could talk about in broader strokes, is there's two games I'm working on right now that neither of them is announced, both of which we have injected. I have been brought on specifically with the intention of, you've got great dark humor, you're good at writing this stuff and finding little bits and ways to punch things up, and so, like, do that. So there's a lot of that in these other two games that we're working on right now that I'm very, it's been a lot of work's been really good lately. So
awesome. Well,
so that's why my boner might seem kind of pale.
I can't wait to hear about the hidden boners.
You will hear all about these hidden boners. I'm gonna say give it 3 to 4 months. And
I've been hearing about some of them, and it's very exciting.
But anyway, we need to get to 5 questions,
guys. 5 questions.
So those are our boners. They're pink and thick. We have Kyle Monville.
Yeah.
Kyle
is a Patreon supporter.
He is, and he's also from. He's a supporter of the. Help me with it. It's not
Twin Cities.
Satanic Temple.
Yes, Satanic Temple.
Not Church of Satan. Not the bad one. The good one. The Satanic Temple. He's good friends with a friend of the show, John Reisner.
Yes,
and that's how we met him. Actually, he comes to Fest a lot.
Yep.
He's a great dude.
Stand-up guy.
So before I get to my answers, I would love it if you did a podcast about the movie Fireproof by Kirk Jesus Fucker Cameron. It's so good, I think I made it 5 minutes before shutting it off.
Oh, boy.
So I think we have a new challenge for movie night this summer.
Yeah. I thought we were going to try and watch something good.
I don't think so.
as soon as they make a good movie, Tim, we'll watch it.
God, how much do you want to bet Fireproof is like he can't be burned by hell? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So let's,
So question number one, what's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
I have a few, but the top two are Beetlejuice and The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
I have watched those more times than I can count, and I just can't stop.
Those are easy movies to watch.
Yeah.
The Fifth Element has been mentioned more than once.
Yeah.
They both have, there's some, if you're a fan of those, there's two things coming up in the next year and a half. The Beetlejuice sequel, mm-hmm. with all of the original cast that is needed.
That looks great.
Or allowed, is coming back.
But that's you on mean the way. Just Michael Keaton? Or?
And
Winona
Ryder and the
Catherine O'Hara.
Yep, and a few
Catherine
others.
O'Hara.
I don't think Oso's coming back.
Right. The Sandworm will be there, Tim. You love his work.
Yeah.
But and then
and his fashion stunts.
Jean-Luc Besson's other movie, the 100.
Oh God, yeah.
The 10,000. Shit.
I can't remember. The name of it is
it's sci-fi and it looks beautiful. Yeah. It looks so Fifth Element.
It's probably Fifth Element. The story of Fifth, who gives a fuck?
The costumes
story,
are so
who gives a fuck gorgeous. What the story of Fifth Element is? There is not a moment where you should even think about it.
Anytime that movie
it looks
on
like
it,
his new movie is going to be the same way. It's like, will there be a story? I don't even fucking care.
Yeah, the Fifth Element is a stop and watch for me, specifically the opera scene. If I know the opera scene's real close, I'm like, well, we're watching.
Hey,
like,
if Chris Tucker is about to show up as Ruby Rod, do something ridiculous. Where's my Ruby Rod movie? I want a Ruby Rod movie. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Again, I have two. My camera and the sword I received as a groomsman gift as part of my best friend's wedding at the Renaissance Festival.
That's awesome.
That's a dope groomsman gift.
That is a really nice groomsman gift.
And I can attest to Kyle taking great pictures. So he obviously has a good camera and talented skill.
Yeah.
He's taking some good pictures of us.
Question number three.
Has he taken any pictures of me? What's up with you,
He might
Kyle?
Have. I don't know.
I don't know.
I
think
it's just...
If you have taken pictures of me, Kyle, it's okay.
They violate Facebook TLS.
Yeah, the pictures he's taken of you are just for him.
I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah. Question number three.
Because I'm a knight.
They're just for him because he's using them for weight loss, Tim. He uses them to induce nausea.
Your circumference.
Sir Spank Bank to you.
Surprised by how much of a ham Tim is. Not that he's a knight. Question number three, what super magical being do you wish was real?
Is fuck them all an acceptable response?
Yes.
If I have to choose, I guess I'll go with Merlin because I like the thought of having wizards around.
No, Merlin's, I like Merlin. I think
Merlin had reasonable ethics.
He's a little dickish, but that's all right.
He lived backwards through time, or he didn't.
Or so they say.
Yes.
Before I say question number four, I have to plug this in here, Jeremy Stomberg, you people who need to take a drink, Jeremy Stomberg has been knighted by the Winter Carnival as well.
Oh,
for what?
I don't know, it does cheapen the award to me.
It does,
They were like, who likes St. Paul the most? Yeah. And they found him.
And they were wrong.
It's not about
anyway.
Who loves St. Paul the most, it's about
who hates Minneapolis the most.
I'm sorry, Kyle, I'm interrupting your questions. Question number four. If religion was gone, what is the biggest problem humanity would now face?
The epidemic of the willfully ignorant and the lack of empathy. Nobody cares about facts, knowledge, or anything anymore unless it directly impacts them. It seems like even without religion, people just want to blindly follow and refuse to think for themselves. I can see that. Yeah. That's a good one. Lack of empathy
is, this continues to be a depressing question.
It really is,
It's the saddest question we've ever had.
Well, we're close to having to come up with new ones or whatever, so...
Question number five, what is your favorite quote?
If religion were true, its followers would not try to bludgeon their young into an artificial conformity, but would merely insist on their unbending quest for truth, irrespective of artificial backgrounds or practical consequences. H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, and that's from Kyle Monville, Eagan, Minnesota. Thank you so much, Kyle. As always, if you want to answer our five questions, you should do that because I've got one left. Yeah. I have just one left in the queue. Literally one. So after this one, the next time we record, I won't have any more. And then I don't know what we're going to do to figure something out. Maybe you just want to see the world burn and you just want to see what happens and what we do. If that's the case, that's fine. But if you've been waiting to answer our five questions, I'm telling you right now, this might be your last chance to do it.
And you're like, oh, it'll take him 4 months to read it on the air.
It would be very, very quick. Very quick.
What's the next convention coming up? Is it SpringCon? Is that the little comic convention?
Probably. I think SpringCon's next. Yeah.
Maybe I'll take like a big pocket full of buttons and go to SpringCon. And anyone who walks up to us at SpringCon and gives us their five We'll give them a button, and then we'll just put them in our pocket and hang on to them for recording.
Oh,
maybe we'll do something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe.
If that sounds interesting, or you got an idea, let us know.
As always, if you want to get your hands on buttons or stickers, you could support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon supporters got to hear this episode weeks ago, and they've just been living high off boners. I mean,
they're just walking. If you see somebody walking along looking super smug, it's because they've already listened to this episode.
They're huffing boners.
If they're rock hard and reading A Wrinkle in Time while looking for a Winter Carnival medallion and going
in
on
space.
About expand, in space, they listen to this before you.
Yeah.
Just saying, that could be you. We're really close to our goal. We only need a couple more patrons at the $1 or $2 level. Really, I think we don't need much. And if you don't have it to give, I don't want you to feel like we are browbeating you. We love you. We respect you. We want you to listen to our show. We don't do this for money. We do it for the joy of it. So anything you want to help us out with is just, you know, icing. So thank you guys so much for listening to us. You can catch us next Tuesday. Until then, we have been us.
We are us.
Super, and you're you.
Super deep. We're us and you're you. Bye.
Peace. Circumcised.
Serpent.
Circle.
Circus.
They get it.
Are you certain?
Geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Oh, well, in the grand scheme of weird Geeks Without God,
that was a good one.